So the question is, how are you held accountable for your thoughts? You're held accountable for a few different ways of thinking. So one is when you proactively allow yourself to think in ways where you should or you shouldn't. Right? That's why we do have a concept that machshava kemaisa, a thought is like a deed. So let's say you're thinking, I'm going to bring soup over to somebody's house. They're not feeling well. You make the soup. And then you're going to bring it over. You have an hour before your kids get home on the bus, right? And you go out to your car and your battery's dead. And you can't drive. Like, you're really, really ready to go. But you can't. So then you still get the points as if you went. Mm-hmm. Because you really intended to, right? So, and down the scale, maybe it doesn't even have to be that much preparation, but if you really intended, so the thought is like the deed. That's not the case for the opposite. If you really intended to go to McDonald's, you said, I have had it with this kosher food. I am going to get a cheeseburger right now, and you get in your car and the battery's dead, you don't get the Avera. Because you didn't do it. Okay, so it's not true in the other case. So how, still the question then is, how are you held accountable for your thoughts? So you are held accountable for, positive and negative, for thoughts that you allow to develop. So thoughts that you work on. Thinking, let's say you're working on trying to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You have to work on that. You have to think about it, right? So you are held accountable for, you are given credit for the work that you do. But let's say you're not doing any work, right? You have make a flash judgment of somebody, and then you decide to keep that judgment for whatever reason, right? You've evaluated it quickly. So it's not just a flashing thought, because a fleeting thought you're not held fully accountable for, although a little bit, and this is why. You shape how you think and how you feel by your attitudes, by how you cultivate yourself, by the thoughts that you have. So a judgment thought wouldn't cross your mind if you're not the type that's condescending in some way. That kind of thought wouldn't come there. If you had worked on yourself adequately, that thought wouldn't even have arisen. So in that sense, you're held accountable for it. You shouldn't have thought it. But you didn't work on yourself adequately to have not thought it. And so that thought is not necessarily that it's an avera for thinking of it, you know, that you get points, but it's certainly a barometer of not done yet, haven't accomplished. And if you're working on yourself, then you can take that as information into yourself and say, oh, I just saw in myself that I have a place where I need to continue working. So hold on to that. Now, once you've thought that thought, you're held accountable for that too. Oh gosh, I don't like that thought that I just thought. And yet I believe the thought that I just thought, so I want to work on that. So you're given credit for that thought. Even before you've done the work. Because you have worked on yourself enough to know that you shouldn't be thinking that way. Right? So you're given credit for that at the same time that you're given demerits for having thought it.
But it's how not can you ever feel good about yourself?
There's no point system, actually.
How can you ever feel self-esteem or good about yourself if Hashem has given you all these qualities for a reason? Like, you know, you rush to judgment or, you know, whatever.
Good. So
those qualities are. So how do you ever, you know, like if you're, it could take years before you're aware of some of these things.
Right. And then, which is okay. It's okay to take years to work on yourself.
But then once you hear it, like once you hear these kinds of classes, and these, you know,
you shouldn't look down on yourself.
Awareness of, you
right.
Know.
What you should do is say, thank you, Hashem, for making me this way. So you move into the Yehudi part of yourself, mm-hmm. right? Thank you, Hashem, for making me this way. Please help me fill in the blank spaces that you gave me. Thank you for helping me recognize this new blank space that I didn't realize was there before. I didn't even know that was a blank space. Now I know. Thank you for giving it to me. Please help me fill it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You just move forward and work on filling it. It's an invitation. It's your own special custom-designed workshop.
You're saying once you're aware of it, and let's say you were aware that you don't judge people to the good. So let's say you know a situation comes up and you don't judge someone to the good, and it's something that you're working on, but then you're still held accountable for that, even though it's like a weakness in you. You know, something like Hashem
right.
gave you.
That's okay, though. But so Hashem does the accounting. Hashem knows what he's doing. He knows the character that he gave you. And so you're held accountable very differently than somebody else is held accountable for the same thought because you're you and they're them.
Right. For them it may be
right.
just a cake.
Right.
They don't have that tendency.
No, I understand that.
So Hashem does all that math. It's very intricate. And there is no, it's very important to know, there is no cancellation
right.
at all.
Right. It's not one for one.
Right. Not at all. Not at all. If the way that you can understand it better is like a very close friendship or like a marriage, or pick any other very close relationship where just because you forgot a birthday, you can't make it up by a bouquet of flowers. Mm-hmm. You can show your remorse, but it doesn't make it up. There is no canceling out anything. But and so that's just that's close math. But what is your relationship? Your relationship is everything, the positive and the negative. So you'll let somebody get away with a lot more when they usually don't do that kind of stuff because you have a whole long history with them. You know that that's not really who they are. They're tired right now, so whatever. That comment didn't really mean anything. But at the tiniest little comment of somebody who's constantly making negative comments, you'll take right away to mean something tachlis, and you're not interested in hearing that. So it really depends on the entire relationship. And so God knows you perfectly, not just best, perfectly. And so you're judged on the entire relationship that you have with God, which is manifest through your relationships with everybody. Mm-hmm. So how you have self-esteem is by relaxing and trusting God. He made you exactly how he wants you to be, to give you the opportunities that you need to have. So you don't have to come down on yourself. Right? So you just say, thank you for making me how I am. Please help me fill in the blank spaces that I have. Mm-hmm. And you can just try that sentence or make up your own sentence like that. But when you are starting to feel frustrated with yourself, oh, I can't believe I'm so whatever. You know, I get angry. I'm constantly yelling at my kids, and I shouldn't be. Again, I yell. I see, Hashem, you made me somebody who yells easily. Thank you, Hashem, for making me the way that I am. Please help me overcome this trait. I don't like it. I want to change it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right, let's see. 11, Hashem rewards and punishes. So that just is basically to tell you that what you do matters. Right? There is nothing that you can do that doesn't matter. Everything is judged, as we discussed. So what you do matters, Hashem rewards and punishes. That's one of the principles of faith. Mashiach, that principle means that Mashiach is coming. Everything is going to turn out good in the end. In the end, it doesn't mean that you will have achieved everything. Just like Esther, right? The Jews were going to be saved. That was clear. The question for Esther was, would she be the vehicle of that or something else? So the Jewish people are going to make it to the end, and we're going to make it triumphant. It's going to be great. But will you be part of it? That's up to you. And what kind of a part in it will you have? That's up to you, each person individually. Mashiach will come. In the end, there will be vindication. In the end, the world will work in synergy. In the end, there will be peace. But we could have a part in it. Mm-hmm. So that's up to us, how much effort we want to expend to be a part of that. But whether or not it's going to happen, for sure it's going to happen. That's not a question. And number 13 can be depressing, which is resurrection of the dead. That could be exciting. Okay, so what the depressing part is, and it's not, I don't think it's depressing, but is that death is not an escape. You can't die and say, I'm done, because you're coming back. Right? There is a judgment at the end where you're going to come back into your body, where your soul and body, new body, will be reunited for whatever it's going to be reunited for, but there is no shutting the door and saying it's over. You can't get out of it. You're in it.
Why are you coming back? What for?
That's a whole long...
Yeah, that's a whole other class.
Then again, like souls come back, then...
Yeah, it's a whole long thing. Reincarnation, a whole long thing. Okay, let's just move on to this phrase here that I want to teach you. So I wrote in Hebrew. Ha'aluv ve'eino ne'alav, ha'shomea cherpato ve'eino mashiv, Hamekabel Yisurim bi'ahava, ketzet hashemesh bigvurato. Ha'aluv ve'eino ne'alav. The one who's insulted and doesn't take insult, like Hashem. Hashem gives us breath. We speak negatively about him or to others, and Hashem still gives us breath. He doesn't take insult. He still gives to us. He's insulted and yet doesn't take insult. So he still gives to us. But we can be like that, ha'aluv, the one who's insulted and doesn't take insult. So it doesn't just mean that. It means somebody who does negative to us and we don't feel badly towards them. Right? I was able to experience it one day. This is my classic aluv ve'eino ne'alav story. When my almost three-year-old was so angry with me that he balled up his little fists and he looked at me and said, I hate your food! And he was like trying to insult me, you know. He like knows I like serve these meals and people come over, Lisa, your food's so great, oh Lisa, how do you do it? Lisa, right? And he's insulting me in the lowest place he possibly can, you know, I hate your food. But I had to turn away not to laugh in his face because it was so cute. But he insulted me, but I didn't take insult, right? So I like capture that as a snapshot in my mind. This is what it feels like. You know, that I should be able to feel that way if an adult says, you didn't prepare well for a class when I spent 4 hours preparing. Or, you know, you weren't thoughtful about something or whatever. They insult you, right? And you have to be able to not take insult. Feel exactly that same way. You don't have to laugh in their face. But you have to totally feel like what you said just doesn't matter. I'm not insulted by it. I'm fine, right? That's the quality of a luv no ne'alav. Hashomeach herpatov eino mashiv. Somebody who hears his herpa. Now this is when the negative is true. Herpa is your negative qualities and doesn't answer. When somebody says, you're a lax mother. You're messy. You don't take care of your guests properly. Whatever it is, they say something real. And you don't say, well, it's because I, or who do you think you are that? Right? Somebody came to my house actually, a friend, a sibling of a close person in my orbit. Young, fresh-mouthed sibling who left the house and said, I thought she was so into Kiruv. Doesn't Kiruv start at home? Look at her youngest. Yeah. Right? So outreach and bringing in closer to Judaism. So, and I have a younger son who is taking a little... Yes. A little foray into pardon, answer.
And so, you overheard this? Or this was said
it was reported to me that the person said it. But even if I heard it, so to not be able to answer and just say, you know what? You're right. Now, in that particular case, I know that it does, and I have all my own reasons, but I don't need to answer the person. Mm-hmm. It's really fine. I don't have to explain to them anything. Mm-hmm. It's okay to hear. Maybe things aren't going the best, and things are going great, by the way, with that kid, but still isn't from. But
but wasn't that Lashon Hara? That person was...
Oh, it was totally the wrong thing to say. Yes, the person should not have said it. Technically, the person who told it to me, that was Rechilut, right? Because you're not allowed to report something negative that somebody else said about you. That's technically Rechilus.
You're supposed to listen to it, right? Like when she.
You can't necessarily not listen to it. If she would come over and say, "Do you want to hear what so and so said about you?" Then you have to say no. But if they just say, "So and so said," you don't really have an option at that point, right? So.
Why, you know, like who hears, not who sees.
Now this is hears. Who hears their negative qualities reported before them, and they don't answer about it. They don't answer. Eino mashiv. Hamekabel yisurim ba'ahava. The one who receives suffering with love. With love. And that's really, all these are high levels. I'll talk about that one in just a second. But the one who can do these three things is like the sun that comes out in its zenith. Is like the strongest shining person possible. Is this person. So the one who receives Yisurim B'Ahava, you can get to that quality as you practice, thank you Hashem for making me this way, please help me get through it, right? Then you can say, thank you Hashem for giving me this opportunity to grow, right? So whether you have a parent with Alzheimer's, or a spouse with depression, or a child with learning disabilities, or you lose a job, or whatever it is, and you have yisurim, you have suffering in your life, you can come to a place, and you're supposed to start much lower than that. You're supposed to start with, you don't have the right change in your pocket for the machine or the parking meter. You don't have the right tea that you want if the box is empty, right? So that's also yisurim. It's just much less. You start with that. So next time you run out of tea, you say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me this opportunity to love you more, or whatever you want to say, but you receive it with love, right? Thank you for giving me these yisurim.
Right, well, Hashem's giving us everything with love.
Right, so if we can receive it, if we can understand that the yisurim are custom designed with love for us, then we can receive it with love.
So you're not supposed to experience like disappointment?
Oh, for sure, you could be disappointed,
so,
and you could be in pain.
So why would you do that over a box of tea?
I'm saying you have to flex.
And there's nothing in there, so I'm saying, like, thank you, Hashem, for, like.
You are disappointed. That's the whole point. It's Yisurim. If you don't care, then it's not Yisurim, right? It's not. Then it's not bothering you. It's only when it bothers you that it's Yisurim.
Okay, right? I understand that, but so you just...
So you are allowed to be in that moment and then move forward and say, oh, this is Yisurim. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me Yisurim. I appreciate it. I don't know why it's good for me, but I know you gave it to me, so it must be good for me. Thank you. You can just start on that level. You could get to higher levels.
Teach me something, like I better buy more tea next time so I don't run out or whatever.
It could be that. It could be as simple as that. Or it could be there's all kinds of reasons for why we suffer, all kinds of reasons.
I always find it helpful when whatever the suffering is, you know, whatever level it is, that I try to find, like, explanations in my mind.
Yeah, but you can't always get there. You can't always get there. Like, I just met with somebody in the hospital who finally, after three different marriages, married her high school sweetheart that she wanted to marry in the first place. And both of them had to go three marriages until they finally got married. They've been married now for 19 years. He's late 60s. She's late 60s. They're totally in love, crazy about each other. He's a physician. He went in for heart surgery. Has a slip disc, told the doctor, you have to use, when you intubate me, you have to use whatever, a special method. He didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
He did a regular intubation when he gave him the anesthesia, and now he's a quadriplegic in Craig. So I went and met with this woman, right? So you can't, if you get to that point, you can't say, it must be Hashem's trying to teach me what? You know, like, so you have to practice receiving it without finding a reason. With trusting Hashem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see a reason, but sometimes you won't. Mm-hmm. And there are huge heartaches that people go through in life where you have to practice receiving it from Hashem with love. Mm-hmm. And so you practice with smaller things. Mm-hmm. You practice with a child being suspended, you know, or whatever it is. These, you should never know from it. But... These are recurrent lice.
We're done.
Thank God. Right. Baruch Hashem.
Yes.
Baruch Hashem. But you can still practice during it.
Yes.
You don't have to say, it must be Hashem is trying to teach me about what the plagues were like in Mitzrayim. You know, you can just say, God, I don't know why you're doing this, but thank you, and please let it end really fast.
What is sight?
What? Where this comes from?
No. What's that word?
Sate. Exit. It's from Yitzia. Like the sun that comes out. So that's the comes out. Sate. Hashemesh bigvurato, or bigvurasso. Okay. So quickly, I'm going to skip this part, and I'm just going to go to the last thing.
Don't lay down. Just keep walking.
Walk home.
I'm having regular contractions, so that's what I'm
writing down. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Good. King your boo. Let's go.
Don't lay down.
You're walking home. And then you're walking to my house in your shaitels.
It'll come out when it's supposed to come out.
That's
right.
All the shots are up.
It is. Yeah. It should be exactly the right time. Easy delivery. Comfortable. And healthy baby. Healthy mommy. Yeah. Good transitions. That's what it should be. Bezrat Hashem. So I wanted to go through this whole other thing and talk about the future and everything and past and tshuva, but I'm not going to. But I do just want to mention something here, zchut avot, and then this last thing, modani. So we often ask for things in the merit of our forefathers, the merit of our foremothers, and you would think, like after all these 3,500 years, didn't we dry up that well already? Like how much merit could four people have generated? Seven people, right? Three fathers and four. Really? How much merit could they have generated that we're still asking from them?
Because it's just like we get merit from our children if we, and we were just talking about this actually in our last class, that we still get merit from our kids, let's say, if we, although it's going to kind of totally contradict what you were just saying earlier, that we help them to see...
Oh, you get merit for that.
Right. Okay,
yes,
so it's the same idea. They're getting merit for the fact that I'm sitting here today and doing what I'm doing, so why would the well be dry?
Yes, if you're doing it because they did it, they get merit for that. And that is basically... Is that zchut avot doesn't depend on the past of what they did. It depends on the future, the trail they blazed.
Okay.
So anybody who walks on their path... generates merit that fills up the well that keeps it going. Right. Yeah, that is what you're saying.
If you hear about tshuva and you come back, that's in their merit.
Right.
They get credit for that.
Right, right. So in a way, yes. Right, so because they blazed a path.
Right.
Right, so anybody who walks on that path generates merit that accrues to them, and so they still do have merit that we can look at, because otherwise all of us are still asking them to empty out that well for us, asking Hashem to empty out the well of the merit that they accrued. How much could they really accomplish? They were great, but really, after a few generations, it can't go that far if it's just straight up math, right? But it's not. So it goes exponentially, that the more people that do things because they taught those things in the world, the more merit accrues to them. So it's future-based, not past-based. That's what I wanted to bring up. So that the merit, the generation of merit, is future-based. And the generation of self is future-based.
Is that why you name people babies after?
Well, because you see potential.
To the people who've passed away, like you're naming a baby for somebody in their merit, so that...
It's in their merit, but also because you want their qualities to go into the baby. You don't name somebody after somebody who wasn't nice.
Right, right. You wouldn't name for someone who had bad qualities.
Right, right. I mean, everybody has bad qualities, but I mean somebody who had particularly bad qualities.
Right, yeah, right.
You wouldn't name after that person.
George Manson.
Right. 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 Yeah, so skip that. Right. Right. But anyway, so I personally think for me, one of the biggest self-esteem producers that there is Moda Ani in the morning.
Oh, I have a question about that.
Okay.
Because you know, I'm sorry, but you know, like I started to learn a little Hebrew, and why is it modeh but not modah?
It is.
What?
Modeh or modah.
How come in the women's sidur it is modeh? In the women's sidur it is the modeh. And in Shmoni Esrei it's also in women's sidur.
In Shmoni Esrei... Where? In Shmoni Esrei. In Shmoni Esrei it should be the same, because you're not saying yourself.
Oh, no, it's a different question.
Right,
sorry.
Okay. Yes. But in the Moda Ani, it should be Moda Ani and Mode Ani.
It's Mode, not Moda.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
It could be a typo. Because in a lot of sitters, there's a slash, and it says Mode Moda.
No, but they have a women's sitter.
I know, I'm saying it could be a typo. People make mistakes sometimes.
Is it the Segula? What is it? I mean,
Segel.
What vowel is it?
Eh.
Triangle.
Right. And it should be moda.
Yeah.
Mora, mora, right?
Right.
So it should be moda for a female, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes people make mistakes.
Modani,
right.
Because, again, like when I didn't know really like the you know, thing, I was doing moda.
Right. Modani. Right. So modani lefanecha, right? I am thankful for it. So first I'm saying I'm a Yehudi. I'm a moda. I'm a thanker, right? That's the first thing we say when we wake up. I'm a thanker and admitter before you, Hashem, King of the world, Melech Chai V'Kayem, the everlasting King, She'achazarta bi nishmati, that you return to me my neshama b'chemla with gifts, right? So I have everything I need to accomplish everything I need to do. I am full. You gave me everything I need for this day. That's the chemla. That every night our soul goes where it goes, and that's a whole long discussion, but when it comes back, it has the gifts that's necessary for that day's accomplishments. Rabbah emunatecha, great is your faithfulness in me. Not great is my faithfulness in you, great is your faithfulness in me. The fact that you woke me up today means you trust me, and you know I can do it. That's the biggest thing, I think, that's the biggest way to get self-esteem, is to say, Hashem woke me up this morning because he knows I'm capable of doing what I need to do, not capable of what I think I need to do, right? Or what I wish I could do, but what I need to do, what my actual task is, I absolutely can accomplish. And I know it for a fact because Hashem woke me up today. So I would not be here. I wouldn't be walking the planet if I couldn't accomplish, if I didn't have the tools available to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Hashem made me exactly as I need to be to do what I need to do and to accomplish what's necessary for me to accomplish. So, and if we start the day, every day with that thought, thank you, Hashem, for waking me up and giving me all the gifts that I need. You have great faithfulness in me. That's why you woke me up. So that's the one not person, being, entity, upon which we could base some self-esteem, is Hashem. Because here it says, I mean, to be a person of truth, on the top, be swayed neither by approval nor disapproval, work at not needing approval from anyone, and you'll be free to be who you really are. That is true. And yet, the fact that Hashem trusts in you so much, it really is. That's the one. Doesn't matter what other people say, even though it's nice to get approval and recognition from others. But our self-esteem should not be bound up in it. Our self-esteem should absolutely be bound up in, are we doing our very best to accomplish the will of our Creator? That's it. When we can say yes to that, then that's where the self-esteem comes in. So, and the way that you get out of the trap of saying, oh, but I'm not. So I just spoke to somebody. I called my friend in New Square. She's Hasidish, Yiddish-speaking mom. And we haven't talked for a long time. So she was telling me about how at the Shabbos table, they were talking about how you could never catch the bus. Always running after the bus, always breathless. You can never get on. No matter how far you grow, no matter what level of Muna you get to, Hashem just gives you another test and another test, and you can never catch the bus. And I said, well, that's certainly one way of looking at it. That's not the way I look at it. So just because I have a different attitude. I mean, I was aptly named, I think. And my English name is Elisa, but it worked out well for Eliza in Hebrew, which means joy. But it's a special kind of joy. It's not simcha joy. It's a spiritual joy. And it's a bracha that I have it, but I work on it too. But it's a bracha. So the way I see it is Hashem gives you a present. And when you unwrap the present and you see what's in it, it's actually magically bigger. And you unwrap it, and it's bigger. And you unwrap it, and it's even bigger. And it's more exciting and more exciting. Not that it's more breathless. It's more breathtaking. It's just more exciting every time you get to another layer. Yes, it can be a burden sometimes. It can feel like a burden. Oh, my gosh, I thought I accomplished something, and now I have to do something so much more. Could I cut a break? But if you can really learn to be thankful, and really say, thank you, Hashem, for trusting me enough with this task. I appreciate it. Then you can move into it and say, you're going to give me the tools that I need to accomplish this. Otherwise, you wouldn't give me this. So it's my job to move forward and work on it. So with that, I hope that we can use some of these tools to inculcate further self-esteem into ourselves and into our families. And may have it easy for this.